The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This Parashas Baalei Secho. I'd like this evening to spend the time on some of the subjects which are dealt with towards the second half of the parsha. We won't be able to have time to deal with them all on another occasion, to deal with the others, but on a few of them. We've said the number of shurim in the past, over the past many years, on those that are dealt with in Parshas Marbidbor and Nosei, and here at the beginning of the Parsha in regards to the Nesim, the princes of all the Shvatim, and regards to the Degolim, how they marched, the campsites, and the type of marching they did, and the Chatzetzeres, and the trumpets, and these are all on tape. But we very seldom get a chance to spend on some of the smaller topics. So that's what I would like to do this evening. In Chamishi, in Perek Yud Aleph, it states, "Vayhi b'shona hashenis, v'chedish hasheni b'esrim achodesh." It was in the second year of the second month, the 20th of the month. Nala ha'onon me'al mishkan ha'edus. The cloud rose from above the sanctuary of the testimony. What we had till now was all of the instruction on how they should camp and how they should march and how they get everyone together, and that the time to march should be when the cloud rises, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cloud, and then goes forward, and how they would dismantle the Mishkan, the sanctuary, and who would take care of it, and how it would be transported together with all of the Klei HaKodesh, all of the sanctified articles, and so on, and then how they would recamp. But actually, in all of this time, they had not moved. This was the first Masa. This was the first Nesiyah. This was going to be the first journey. And when would this take place? This would take place in the second year that they came to the Midbar, to Midbar Sinai, the desert of the Sinai, which was by Har Sinai, the second year in the second month, and the 20th of that month. Now the second month, the first month is Nisan, so the second month is Iyar. So therefore it was the 20th of Iyar. When did they come to Midbar Sinai? So the Torah tells us in Parshas Yisrael that b'chedesh hashlishi, let's say Yisrael mimitzrayim, bo'u lemidbar Sinai, that in the third month of the year, Reish Chedesh, they came to the desert of Sinai, and there they camped in Neged Ahor, opposite of the mountain. The third month is Sivan. This means that they left Egypt on the 15th of Nisan. It was Nisan, and then there was Iyar, and in the third month, on Sivan, on Reish Chedesh, they came to Midbar Sinai. It wasn't 3 months, covered three different months, but it was only 49 days. It was less than 49 days. It was half of Nisan, and all of Iyar, and then on Reish Chedesh Sivan is when they came to Har Sinai, and they camped on there for 6 days, and on 6 days, and after 6 days, they received the Torah, which was the 50th day. This is the Sfiras Haemer. Now, they stayed at Har Sinai for an entire year, less 10 days, and that's what Rashi brings. This is a Gemara. This is a Gemara in Masechet Tainus, and because they were there for the entire year from the Reish Chedesh Sivan when they came all the way till the 20th of Iyar, which is 10 days short of the next Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So therefore they were there a Shana Tamima, an entire year, less 10 days. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, now you must move. So, Bayi, Bashona Hashenis, Bachedish Hasheni, Besser, Bachedish, Nale Honon, Meal Mishkana Idus. So the clouds started to rise from above the Mishkan, and they started to get ready for their first journey. And that first journey was Vayishu v'nei Yisrael ma'aseh min bar Sinai. They went from the desert of Sinai, Vayishkoino Enon, and the first journey was going to be b'midbar Poron, in the desert of Poron. Now, the Gurai, the Maral, explains why did they stay at Har Sinai for a full year, less than 10 days. He says, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Israel the Torah, this was like a color HaNichneses Lechupa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Chosen, and Klal Yisrael, they were the color. As it states also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came out to meet them at the giving of the Torah, Kelikras Chosen, Kelikras Chosen as a color, like a Chosen goes out to meet the color. And this was the great Simchas HaTorah. And it states that when a person marries an Isha Hadosha, he takes a new wife, Noki Yelebesei, Shona Achas, a person should be free to dwell in his home for a complete year, Visimaches Ishtai, and he should gladden the heart of his new wife. He's not allowed to go out of town, go away. He's not allowed to go to war and so forth. So the same thing here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to remain by Har Sinai for a full year. And therefore, that entire year was out here, the Saderech. It was B'simcha u'b'mnucha. I didn't have the burden of traveling, but they had only Simcha and Menucha, and there they studied the Torah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why was it 10 days short of a year? So then he explains, he says as follows, Mivneiki anasiya I nasiya shel koved ugdula ima degolim. When they moved, when Klal Yisrael moved in the desert, this was enormous and magnificent beauty and royalty that you saw. 600,000, but far more than 600,000. It was just the 600,000 men between 20 and 60. This did not include Shevet Levi. This did not include the women. This did not include anyone older than 60 or younger than 20. So there was actually a camp of millions, and they would move in this formation, where every Shevet and every camp had its perfect formation, and with the Oren and with the Mishkan and so forth. So this was of great magnitude and of magnificent splendor. He says, "Anasiya hi nasiya shel koved ugdula ima degolim v'lo hayakoved kemayhu." This was unparalleled. "L'kach hoya hascholes nasiyas hadegolim b'sei hashona." And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them also that this should be part of the first year. Since it was right at the end of the first year, they should also go with great splendor as a chosen and kala. So therefore, he commanded them now to go and to move. Then it tells us how they moved and the formations and so forth. A little further in the Sedra, in Pasuk Chof Tes, it states, Vayomem Moshe leChevav ben Reuel haMidjani. Moshe said to Chevav, the son of Reuel, who was from Midjan, Chesein Moshe, this was the father-in-law of Moshe, so this was Yisro, and except he had seven names, and Chevav was one of his seven names. He said, Neisim anachnu el amokam asher omar Hashem esei etein lochem. We are now going to the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the land I'm going to give you. So you come with us, and we will be good to you. Ki Hashem diber tov al Yisrael. Hashem has spoken goodly on Yisrael. Now when they said, Nesim anachnu el amokum, Asher amar Hashem, Eisei etein lochem, we are now going to the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised to give us. So he's referring to Eretz Yisrael. So this means that they weren't merely going to another campsite. They were going to Eretz Yisrael from Midbar Sinai, from Har Sinai. Rashi brings from the Sifri, Miyad, Ad Gimel Yomim Onu Niknosin La'oretz, Shebemase Zeorishayim Nosu Amonas Nikonis Eretz Yisrael. It was a 3-day journey from Har Sinai to Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had planned to bring them right into Eretz Yisrael. Except, and then Rashi says, Shechotu b'Miseinanim. Soon comes up the parshas of the complainers and those that wanted meat and so forth and so on. So all of this caused delays. But this is what they were going. This is where they were going, to Eretz Yisrael. And at this time yet, Moshe said, Nosim anachnu, we are going to Eretz Yisrael. What does it mean, we? Moshe wasn't going to go to Eretz Yisrael, nor was Aaron, nor was Miriam. They all died in the desert. So Rashi brings that, no, at that time yet, he said, Eidain le nigzo gzeiro olop, uksavashu nichnas. The decree on Moshe was not yet made. That came later on by the May Hamori, by the May Meriva, where the waters of the quarrel. But at this time yet, there was no decree, and therefore Moshe was openly thought and said that we are going into Eretz Yisrael. So it was just a 3-day journey. Then, a little further it states, in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayisu me'har Hashem derek shleish yomim. They left from the Har Hashem, from the mountain of Hashem, Har Sinai, a journey of 3 days, Varein bris Hashem ne'seh lifneihem, and the Arein bris Hashem was in front of them, derek shleish yomim, a journey of 3 days, losur lehem menucha, and to lead the way, to find the right way for them. Here, Rashi brings, Mahalak shleish yomim holchu b'yemechot, she'achovitz HaKadosh Baruch Hu lachnisom l'eretz miyad. It wasn't 3 days. They did those 3 days in 1 day. This is what Rashi says. The Gurai explains, why this, it is from this, also from the Sifri, why should we say that? Because it should have said by Yisu Shleish Yomim. They went for 3 days. Instead it says that they by Yisu Mehar Hashem Derech Shleish Yomim. They went on a journey of 3 days. The Arein Bris Hashem was before them Derech Shleish Yomim, a journey of 3 days. So this implies that the journey that they embarked on was to take 3 days. But they did it in 1 day. This is how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to come into Eretz Yisrael immediately. Now from here is a enormous limud, something that we can learn from here enormously. Because we all know that the trip from Har Sinai to finally we got there at Yisrael was a long, arduous journey, a span of 40 years. That wasn't the plan. And we all know that it was a very, very difficult journey. And a whole generation died off. That wasn't the plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and he gave them the Torah. And that took approximately 40 some days to come to meet Bar Sinai. And then there was another 6 days and they received the Torah. That was 50 days. And then they stayed by Har Sinai for a year less 10 days to celebrate. That was the celebration of the Simchas HaTorah. There they learned Torah. That was the Simchas Chosid and Kala. And then, 10 days short of the year, they assembled to march with this great splendor and this magnificent royalty through the desert, and they embarked on a 3-day journey which would have brought them into Eretz Yisrael in one day. So it would have taken them immediately that they would have come to Eretz Yisrael. But because one thing after the other, soon we learn about the Misenanim, by Yom Ki Misenanim Rabbos Ne Hashem, these were the complainers. And they said the journey was too long, and we've been on the journey too long, and we didn't have this, and so forth and so on. And then there were those who was Misavetar, that they wanted meat. And then there was the episode of Loshon Hara spoken by Miriam and Aaron against Moshe. All of that caused further delay. And then there was the Meraglim. And because of all of that, this journey lasted 40 years. It caused ultimately the death of Moshe and Aaron. Miriam also died in the Midbar. So they never went into Eretz Yisrael. It caused the death of the entire generation. So also didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. And the Maral writes in his Gvuras Hashem that had they gone into Eretz Yisrael immediately, like the original plan, then they would have never been gone. They would have never gone back into Golus. There would have never been a destruction. A Churban Beis Hamikdash, Beis Rishon, Beis Sheni. Because it would have been a continuity of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. The going out of the Mitzrayim and coming into Eretz Yisrael would have been one. And just like we never went back to Mitzrayim, we would have never gone out of Eretz Yisrael. But because there was this tremendous hefsik, this tremendous interruption, and the generation that went out is not the generation that came in. This is why we have been driven out of Eretz Yisrael so many times. So this is what the Chazal say, that there's a derech, there's a derech arucha shiktsora and a derech tsora shiarucha. Sometimes there might be something that looks like a long way, but it's a short way. And sometimes there's something that looks like a shortcut, but it's a long way. We didn't go Yosha, and we listened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it would have been a very, very short trip. This is something that we can learn very strongly, that when a person goes bitmimus, he goes with innocence and listens to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even though it might look like a long trip, it could be a very straight and short trip. But when he has all types of cheshbainus, he has all types of calculations. That's what Shlomo HaMelech writes at the end of Kehelis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man Yoshua, straight. But because of the Cheshbeinus HaRabim, because of all of the many calculations, crooked calculations that he has, that he thinks is going to be better, that destroys him. So that's something that we see very strongly here. Now, Moshe came to Yisro, and Yisro was planning on returning to his home. And he says, "Lo elech ki melaratzi v'lo melarati elech." No, I want to go back to my land. I want to go back to my family. Vayomer al not haze v'isonu. He says, "No, do not leave us." Ki al kein yodato chanoseinu b'midbar. Because you have seen all, this means you have seen all of the miracles of our campings in the desert during this past year. And also you have become eyes to us. Now, Rashi brings from the Sifri that Moshe was afraid that if Yisro would go back, then people would say, and the Maral says this is why he used the word Noah, please, he was begging him, he was afraid of Achil Hashem, Shleyemru le'nizgari Yisrei mechibo. It's not too clear. See, it seems Yisro already was Megayer. If he was already Megayer, I don't know why he had wanted to go back. Unless he was already Megayer, he converted, and then he was going to go back and live in Midian. So this is not too clear. But Moshe begged him not to go back because he said, then it will not look good. Because the Yerusha, the Nachla in Eretz Yisrael, that was given only to the Yetzi Mitzrayim, to those who went out of Mitzrayim, and to their descendants. Yisrael, Gerim, did not go out of Egypt. Therefore, they do not inherit the land. So now that we're coming to the land, people might say, when he found out that there's no chelik, no portion in Eretz Yisrael for him, now he went back and gave up Torah. This would be a Chil Hashem. So therefore Moshe was begging him that he must come with us and he must not go back. The Sifri adds more. And the Sifri says, what does it mean that the Hoyo Lonu Leinayim, that you will be for us like eyes, you will be a role model, just like eyes give you the power of sight. When you see something good, it gives you the power of sight. You will be a role model. Shaleitino deles bifnei hagerim haboim leimar im Yisrael chosno shel melech lekibel chas kal v'chemer leshar bnei odom. If Yisrael goes back, so people will say that Yisro was the father-in-law of the king. And you see they pushed him away, so how much more so other Gerim, other converts? So therefore, he begged Yisro, don't go away. You'll be like us for eyes. In other words, a role model for others. And Yisro was the Rosh HaGerim. He was the first Ger. And he listened and he stayed. Then there's another pshat. Rashi brings this. What does it mean? We are Yisalon Aleinayim. You'll be our eyes. Shetechoviv Aleinu kevgagol Einenu. You will be as dear to us as a person's eyes. A person's eyes are very precious to him. Heaven forbid something should happen to them. So they're very precious and he takes good care of them. So Moshe told Yisro, don't go away, stay with us, and you will be as precious to us as one's own eyes. What did he mean by that? Because it states, V'ahavtem es hager, that you should love the ger, the convert. And this is how we will treat you. We will treat you just as a man treats his own eyes. Now from here we see this in many places. How much a Kodesh Baruch Hu was Maflia, how to what great extremes he went towards the gear. Be'ahtem es hager, that one should love the gear. Actually, the Sifri here goes on a great elaboration and a great length. We won't have time to go into it now, but a great elaboration and a great length to explain and to itemize all of the great gerim that Klal Yisrael had, that there were so many and did so good, did so much for Yisrael. But this is what we see from Yisrael, and he was the first Ger. And on this point, that how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu endears the Ger, We just learned Sefer Rus. We gave a Shira and Shavuos, and we gave a Shira not last week. And in Sefer Rus, let me just bring out a point or two on this. It states in Megillas Rus Aleph Pasuk Yutes, when Naomi wanted Ruth to go back, and she saw now that she was insisting that she'll go along with Naomi and she will be misgayeres, she will convert. So she stopped speaking to her, and both of them went until they came to Beis Lechem. So it states, they both went. The fact that it says they both went, so we see here the Torah refers to both of them as a pair. Rabbi Bohu said, Bo'u re'ei kama chavivim agerim lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come and see how dear the converts are before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Given shenitna daita lisgayer, since she only decided now that she's going to be misgayer, hish vayisay hakosav l'Naomi. Already the Torah compares the two as one, holds one equal to the other. She wasn't megayer yet. I don't think so, because you need a bezdin to be megayer. So she wasn't megayer yet. And still it states, vatelach toshtehem, they both went together. So what was it? Shenos no daitalis gayer. She had only made the decision to be megayer. Once someone makes the decision to convert, Kodesh Boker already equalizes her to Naomi. And Naomi was the great tzaddikus. We learned last week at the Shir that when Naomi went out of the city, she took the glory of the city with her. There's another interesting point which I saw in the Vilna Gaon on Megillas Rus, that when Boaz met her and he heard about the great chesed that she did for her mother-in-law Naomi and the family, this is in Rus Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, he said, Yishalim Hashem po oleich, Kodesh Baruch Hu should pay you for all your acts, usihim maskuteich shleimo mi'im Hashem elakei Yisrael, and your reward should be shleimo, should be complete from Hashem, Asher bos lachas eistachas kenofov, in whom you have come to seek refuge under his wings. Now why did he say that your reward should be shleimo, your reward should be complete? Alright, so we can learn Poshut, he's giving her bracha, that she should have reward for all of these good deeds and all she is doing. But he brings something very interesting. He says that a Jew, a born Jew, cannot ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a reward. It states that you shouldn't be ka'avodim ha'mashamesh es'harav amanas lekabel pras. Born Jew cannot be like a servant that serves his master on the condition to receive reward. Why? He says, because we, avodim ha'yinu leparei b'mitzrayim, we were slaves to parei Mitzrayim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us, so he said, Avodahim, v'lei avodim la'avodim. They are my slaves now, not slaves to slaves. This is the halacha. You capture a slave from someone else, now you own him. So we are owned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he redeemed us from being slaves from Pare. Therefore, how, he says, how do we have the hosa, how do we have the azus, the brazenness to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for reward? Someone who is a slave to a master, how can he come to the master and say, I did this for you, pay me? So therefore we can't. Altia ke'evad ha-meshameshes rabbi amanas lekabel pras. But a ger was never in Mitzrayim, and they were never slaves to Parah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu never redeemed them. They came on their own, through their own free will to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't own them. So now when they do mitzvahs, they can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for reward. So this is what Boaz told Ruth: Yishalem Hashem Baalech, Kodesh Baruch Hu should pay you reward. Usim Askotech Shleima Mim Hashem, and he should give you full payment from Hashem. Elokei Yisrael Hashem Bos Lachasay Tachas Kenofel, that you have come to seek refuge. This is what the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, says in his Pirush on Ruth. Now he told Yisro, Moshe told Yisro that even though you and your family will not inherit the basic Eretz Yisrael, but still we'll give you something. And this is what he said: V'hoya kiselech imanu, if you go with us, v'yatov ahu asher yeti v'ashem imanu v'hitavnu loch, then the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give to us, we will also give to you. So they did promise them something. They did promise Yisrael something. What did they promise? So Rashi brings like this. In Pasuk Lamed Beis, Ma Teve Heitiv Alei, what was the goodness that they gave Yisrael? Omru, they said, Kishohoyu Yisrael Mechalkin Es Oretz, when Yisrael later on was dividing up the land, Hayadoshnel Shel Yerichai, Tovkuf Ama Al Tovkuf Ama, the fat of Yerichai, of Jericho, there was a piece of land there which was 500 Amos by 500 Amos. Benichuha Milachlik, and they never divided that up to give to any of the Shvotim. Omru, and they said, Mishivne Beis Hamikdash Bechelkai, whoever it will end up that the Beis Hamikdash will be built in his land, and therefore some of his land will be taken away from him to build the Beis Hamikdash on. And he won't own that, because the Beis Hamikdash everybody owns. All right? So then he might have a taina, he might have a claim. Look, part of my land was taken from me. So therefore, hu yitlenu, he will have this piece of land. U'bein kach, nosnuhu livnei Yisrael. The yundav ben rechav shenema b'nei keni chesed meisha, olu meir atamorim, and so forth. And u'bein kach, in the interim, till the Beis Hamikdash was built, because it was a long time yet after they came into Eretz Yisrael when the Beis Hamikdash was built. They came in Yeshua's time, and the Beis Hamikdash was only built in Shlema's time. So in the interim, it fell into the hands of Yisro and his family. So this was the tov, he said, that we will do for you. You will have a piece of land. And we find generations later, the family of Yisro had it. But the Maral asks a good kasha here. He says, what was the great deal? Tovkuf amal, tovkuf amal. 500 amas by 500 amas is a very small piece of land. An amas is about a half a meter, is that correct? Right? Yeah. So what are we talking about? 250 meters by 250 meters. That's not much of a piece of land when we come to land. So what was the big deal? You can't do too much farming on that land. So he says, now this is the pshat. He says, that land was a very special piece of land. What is the proof of it? Because that was going to be the temura, the exchange for the piece of land where the Beis Hamikdash would be built on it. When the Beis Hamikdash was determined to be built, it was built in the Nachla of Yehuda and Binyamin. So they had to give up land for the Beis Hamikdash. So that land was very special. The Beis Hamikdash wasn't built on any piece of land. That was Har HaBayis. That was Har HaMoriah. That was the place the Gemara brings that Avram went for the Akedah for Yitzchak. And that was the place where Yitzchak, Lasuach Basodeh, that he went to David and the Sodeh when he saw Rivka. And that was the place of Beis El where Yaakov slept. It was brought that was Orem HaRishon made a Mizbeach. That was a very, very special piece of land. So if this piece of land was in Yehuda's Nachlo or Binyamin's Nachlo, so what do you mean I'll give this away and you'll give me a farm. What kind of deal is that? No, I'll keep this. So they had to find a piece of land that almost had all the mileage in it that the land that was used, that was appropriated for the base of English will have. So since we see that this was going to be the tamura, the exchange of the land for the base of English, it had to be a land kamaihu, it had to be a land of similar caliber. And because of similar caliber, so the brachas, many of the brachas that would come out of the land that the Beis HaMikdash was to be built on, would be in this land. Otherwise they would have never been satisfied that you're taking away from me, from us, such a piece of land and you're giving us this piece of farm here, this vineyard. So that's what he told Yisrael. He said, don't worry. He says, what will fall into you, heitavnu loch, v'yatovahu, will be tov, will be very, very good. It could be he didn't know, Moshe himself wasn't sure which land it was, or he didn't know at that time by Yisrael, because that was supposed to be the Temura. Eventually it fell into the hands of Yisrael. But so this was the good that fell into the hands of Yisrael, because he came along with Klal Yisrael, and he became the Rosh HaGerim, the first Ger, which was a Naim, which is role model for others. Then if we go a little further, it states in Pasuk Lamed Hey, Vayimen Sei Aaron, Vayimen Moshe. See, it's speaking here of the Masa of the Nesiyah, that they went from the Har Hashem. It was a Derech Shleishis Yomim, it was a journey of 3 days, and the cloud of Hashem was above them during the day when they went. Then it states Vayhi bin Sei Aaron Vayim Emesha, that as they journeyed and they had an Orem that was in front of them. This was not the Orem that was in the Mishkan. That was covered up and that was carried by the many course. But this was an Orem that Moshe had made and it would lead them. Vayhi bin Sei Aaron, and in here was a Sefer Torah. Vayhi bin Sei Aaron, Vayhi bin Moshe. So as the Orem would go, Vayhi bin Moshe, then Moshe would say, Kuma Hashem, v'yifutzei vecho. Kuma. Get up. And Hashem, v'yifutzei vecho, you should scatter your enemies. V'yanusu misanecho, and you should make your enemies flee miponecho, from before you. So Rashi says, what does it mean? Now, firstly, Kuma, he would say, is that the Orem should not go too far. The Orem would usually be a distance of 3-day journey before them, but it shouldn't be further than 3 days. If it's too far, the Torah has to be a little above the person, a little beyond the person. So it must not bring it down to his level. He has to reach up to its level. If it's too far, that's not good. So it has to be within 3 days. So Moshe would say, Kuma, don't go too far. And then he would say, Hashem yafutsu eivecho v'yanusu misanecho biponecho. You should scatter your enemies. So Rashi says, this refers to those enemies which are all grouped together. You shall scatter your enemies. And by anusu, and you should cause your enemies to flee, this refers to those who are elu haretfim, see, to those who are running, who are pursuing. Yanusu misanecho. you shall cause them to flee miponecha from before you. And then Ubnucha Yemar, Ubnucha, when it would come time to stop, so then Meshe would say, Shuvah Hashem, that they should rest, you should rest now, and Rivavais Alpha Yisrael, on the multitudes of Yisrael. Now, Rashi asks here, it says, Misanecho, your enemies. Now, why does it say your enemies? It's speaking of the enemies of Yisrael. See, the Oren was in front, and if they would encounter enemies, so the Oren would protect us. So it's speaking of the enemies of Israel. So it shouldn't say Ve'anusim Misanecho, Ve'ifutzei Vecho, your enemies. It should say our enemies. So Rashi says, he brings from Chazal, no, it's Elu Seini Yisrael. These are the enemies of Israel. Those who hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu hate Yisrael, because whoever hates Yisrael hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rashi is saying, and this Chazal gives us a deep insight. You know, there are nations who will tell us that we don't hate God. Who hates God? The fact is, we believe in God. We love God. We're not idolaters. We're not pagans. But we hate Israel. You got many religions that hold like that, you see. And they try to vindicate and to justify themselves this way. Fact is, the Muslims are like that. Muslims don't deny God. They love God. They're not idolaters. But Yisrael, they hate. Christianity is like that. We believe in God. Of course we believe in God. Who doesn't believe in God? We're not idolaters. We're not pagans. We hate the Jews. And there are many religions like that. And there are those that want to justify that these religions are not really idolatrous religions. And because of this and because of that and so forth and so on. Maybe at one time they weren't. Maybe at one time. But here the Torah tells us differently. Our enemies, those that hate Jews, they hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to our enemies, so we say to him, V'yafutza Evecha V'yanusa Misanecha, scatter and defeat your enemies, even though there are enemies, because those who are our enemies are your enemies. Those who hate us hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And don't listen to all of their hevel and their nonsense. The ones that hate HaKadosh, the ones that hate Klal Yisrael, they hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ones that try to destroy Klal Yisrael, try to destroy HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Esav hated Yaakov. He didn't love Hashem. He hated Hashem as much as Yaakov. And this was with the whole Roman nation and the whole European nations and the German nations and the others. They hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they hate Klal Yisrael, and there's one. They cannot have a love for Hashem and try to destroy his people, because Bonim Atem Hashem Elokecha, you don't love someone and then you go destroy his sons. Or Amai, we are his nation. And the reason why they want to take it out on Klal Yisrael is because as long as Klal Yisrael is in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the world. Hitler wanted to eliminate the Jew because he wanted to eliminate Hashem. As long as the Jew is in the world, then Hashem's in the world. So he's got to get rid of the Jew. And this is the same with all of them. If you have someone that loves the Jew, oh, that's something else. Loves the Jew, that means he loves what the Jew stands for. The Jew stands for bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world, that means he has a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's was Yisrael. Yisrael wanted to become part of the Jews. So you see, he has a love for Jews. Why does he have a love for Jews? For what they stand for. They stand for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But those who have a hate for Jews, they have a hate for Jews because they cannot stand what the Jews represent. And the Jew represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it means that the Sheirish, the source of it is they can't stand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. They want to eliminate him from the world. And this is consistently through history, consistently through history. The great tyrants, it was Nebuchadnezzar, or if it was Titus, or if it was the Tsar, forever. And they wanted to tear out HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the world. Because they do not want the old, they do not want the burden, the decree. It's the decrees of Hashem. And if the Jew would disappear, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would disappear from the world. This is the Jew's mission in this world, to make sure that they don't disappear. So therefore, Rashi brings that those that hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the, who are the ones that hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Not that they come and they say we hate it. Who will say I hate God? Those, the anti-Semite that hates Israel. Then it states, Shuvah Hashem Rivavais Alfei Yisrael. Now if we refer to Rivavais Alfei Yisrael, Rivavais means 10,000, Rivavah. And Rivavos is plural, so that's 20,000, 2 10,000s. And Alfei Yisrael, Elef is 1,000, so Alfei is 2. So Rashi says this refers to 22,000. The Gemara brings in Yevamah Samach Dalet Aleph and then Baba Kama Pe Gimel Beis, the Gemara brings that Mikan, from here we see She'ena Shechina Sheira Bishvel Chusim Mishnei Alofi Mushteira Vavais, that Shechina will not dwell, because here we say Shuvah Hashem Rimeis Alfei Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should rest with the 22,000 Jews. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not dwell amongst Israel if it's less than 22,000 Jews. See, actually the Gemara in Yevamos brings it in the Sugi of Peru Avu, how important it is for people to try to have children. Because if Klal Yisrael becomes less than 22,000, heaven forbid, then the Shekhinah is nistalik, the Shekhinah goes away. So there must be 22,000 for the Shekhinah to dwell amongst Israel. Now Taisus asked the Kasha, but we find many Gemaras that states that wherever there are 10 people, then the Shekhinah is there. It says if 10 are learning, if we have in a shul, if you have a minion, so the Shekhinah is there, and there you can say Dvarim Shebekdusha. So why 22,000? So I saw a teretz, very good teretz, in the Torah Tamimah, where the Torah Tamimah says, he says, those places where it states that wherever there are 10, the Shekhinah Sheira, that's where 10 come together, assemble together for Torah or Tefillah. They come together, doesn't say that if 10 are sitting and drinking a L'chaim, it says Shekhinah Shuriyah B'neihem. Doesn't say that. It says 10 come to a shul to be mispalo, Shekhinah Shuriyah B'neihem. 10 come together for Talmud Torah Barabim, Shekhinah Shuriyah B'neihem. So he says, if 10 come together for Torah, for Tefillah, then Shekhinah Shuriyah B'neihem. But not B'tmidus, not all of the time. when they break up and they leave shul, then the Shekhinah is not shuri b'neihem anymore. Here we're speaking where the Shekhinah was over the camp of Yisrael all of the time. When they camped, and when they broke camp and marched, the Anani HaKovet was always there. In order for the Shekhinah to be Shruyeh, to dwell amongst Yisrael all of the time, there we must have 22,000. See, so that's what it means. Ribavais Alpha Yisrael, 2 10,000s and 2,000. This goes very well with what the Maral adds here. The Maral adds here, he says that's why the numbers of the Levim were 22,000. That was Machne Levia. Machne Levia was the camp which the Levim dwelled in. There was the Machne Shechina, but nobody could dwell in the Machne Shechina. That's where the Beis HaMikdash was. Nobody lived there. But the closest camp where anyone lived, that was the Machne Levia, the second camp. And that was the camp where the Levim, Moshe, Aaron, and all of the Levim and the Kohanim lived. And there was the strongest Shechina by Klal Yisrael. He says their number was 22,000. So this would be the, and he gives a reason why the 22,000, but it's something which is beyond us. It has to do with the camps of the Malachim, of the angels and so forth. Now, one final point. If you look in the Sefer Torah, and many of the Chumashim have it, you'll see that there are two symbols at the beginning of Vayhi Ben Sei Aaron and at the end. And it's like two upside down noons. So what does that denote? So there's a machlekes in the Gemara. In Gemara in Perakol Kisve, Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Aleph. Now I'll just quote Rebbe's opinion. There are two opinions, but Rebbe's opinion. See, Rebbe said there's an opinion that this is not the right place for this parsha. Rebbe says this is the right place for this parsha, because we're talking of the a breaking camp. We're talking of traveling to Eretz Yisrael. So it states that when they traveled, Vayhi Ben Sei Aaron, the Aaron would go first, and then Moshe would instruct the Aaron, don't go too far and scatter our enemies for us. And when it come to time to stop, so Moshe would say for the Shekhinah to stop and dwell amongst us. So he says this is the right place. So what do these symbols mean? He says the symbols mean because this is considered a sefer bifnei atzmoi. This whole parsha, Vayhi Ben Sei Aaron, Vayhi Ben Moshe, this is what we say all of the time when we take out the Sefer Torah. But this whole parsha, this is a sefer bifnei atzmoi. It has a din of a sefer Torah by itself, which would mean that in Sefer Bamidbar there are three sforim. Sefer Bamidbar is actually, which we consider one sefer, is actually broken up into three sforim then. It's from the beginning of Bamidbar to this parsha. Then the second sefer is this parsha. And then the third sefer would be from immediately afterwards. So Bamidbar is three. And then there are another four sforim. See, there's Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, and Devarim. So that would mean how many sefer Torah, how many sforim, how many books are there? In the Torah Shebikhtav, in the Chumash, it'd be seven. We call it the Chumash because we're used to having it five. Chamisha Chumash Torah. But there would be seven. So according to Rabbi Yudah Nossi, he holds there are seven Svarim in the Chumash. There's Bereishis, there's Shmos, there's Vayikra, there's Bamidbar till Vayhi Ben Sei Aaron, that's four. There's Vayhi Ben Sei Aaron till Alfei Yisrael, Rivvais Alfei Yisrael, that's five. Then there's Vayhi Yom Kimisa'enanim till the end of Bamidbar, that's six. And then there's Dvarim a seven. And the Rebbe says that's what it means in the Pasuk in Mishlei. In Mishlei Tes Pasuk Aleph, it states Chochmais Bonsa Besa Chotzva Amudeh Hashiva. Actually, Rashi explains there. He brings two pshatim. What does it mean? With wisdom, she built her house, and she hewed out seven pillars. Actually, the Gemara Megillah dashens this goes on Esther also. But there's another pshat that refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem. So Rashi brings one pshat that Bechochma Bona HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esa Olam. With great wisdom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he balanced the world on seven pillars which he hewed out, and these were the Shiva Shemei Bereshis, the 7 days of creation. That's one pshat. See? So that'll be like the other Mandiyoma, that there are only five books of Moses. Havishachum Shetera. But according to Rebbe, this is Dovarache Sheva Sforim Shiesh Betorah. Vahiben Seoran Sevela Atzmai. Then what does it mean, Chotzva Amodeh Shiva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu balanced the world on seven pillars which he hewed out? These are the seven Sforim that Toras Moshe is made up of. Because by Ibn Soharon, that is a Pasha Bifnei Atzmai, so therefore in total we will have seven. Right, these were a few notes on some of these smaller topics which are brought near the latter part of the Pasha.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.